We have a burden. We welcome the Lord. We appreciate the specials this morning because the bottom line is what I've got to have, what I have on my heart this morning is Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Now, he may not be mentioned overly a lot in this message, but the crust of the whole thing is him, being with him, being a part of him. I want to ask you some questions first, and then we'll move on from that point. How many of us in here has a GPS? Maybe two or three GPSs. Do you use it much? It's a useful tool to get you right, get you places. Right. Have you ever had it misguide you?
Yeah.
Its purpose is to help you get to places that you need to go. Do you listen to it? Do you follow it? You probably do, but again, it's not perfect.
Right.
Have you ever had your GPS say, make a U-turn, make a U-turn? Now, I don't think I have on this, but the ones that we used to put up on our dashboard before they started putting them on smartphones, I've had that squall out different times, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. Mm. All right. I found out why, too. I was going the wrong way. Going the wrong way. It felt like that you was going the wrong way. Now then, there's a spiritual GPS that's watching over you and is most interested in your spiritual well-being.
Thank you, Lord.
GPS, great personal Savior.
Yeah, right.
He's great. Heard about that this morning in song. He wants the best for you, and in the end wants you to make heaven. So wouldn't it be a very wise thing to listen to what he says?
Yes.
And if he says make a U-turn, would you do it? Why would he do that? Because you're going the wrong way. Even if you don't think that you're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way. So this morning, the great personal Savior, he wants to help you and I out today. Just like was in the singing, just about every song was connected pretty well to Jesus. And I'm thankful this morning for Jesus. How many is appreciating the Savior this morning?
Amen.
He's the one that's got us where we're at. He's the one that's going to keep us where we're at if we do what he wants us to do. Down in near Corpus Christi, I think the name of the town is Kingsville. The reason I was down there is we had helped a man and a wife move from Shawnee, Oklahoma, back or down there. And after we got everything done and got the rental car to come back home, I wanted to go see something called the King's Ranch. Anybody ever heard of the King's Ranch? One of the largest ranches in the world. And I want to look at it. I want to see this ranch. Well, I had a book from Texas that told me phone numbers and addresses and everything of where things was. And I looked it up in there. And as we turned to go down this street that we're supposed to go down, we passed some things on each side. And the wife goes, well, I think, Carl, you're supposed to pull in right here. And I said, what does the GPS say? Says go straight ahead. I said, let's go straight ahead. And then when I got down there to where the GPS said I was supposed to be, guess what was down there? Grass, barbed wire fences, trees. There was no building. I didn't even see any cattle. And I thought, something's wrong here. So I went on down and it dead ended. And got down there and there's a place. So I pulled up and I called the number in the book. And she goes, did you follow your GPS? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, you better turn around and come back. Said, turn that thing around because we're fixed to take a tour out just in a little short time. I will tell him to keep an eye on it. If somebody's coming in, he's to stop before he goes. And he was coming out and I was coming in. He shut it down. We both jumped out of the car. We ran in, paid our fee, and jumped on the bus and went on the tour. But the bottom line was that GPS had led me to the wrong place. And that's not the only time. It dumped me out in basically a pasture one time, just me and it. And looking at the situation over, I thought, this ain't right. But listen, this morning, Jesus Christ is interested. He's the great personal Savior that wants to take you, save you, redeem, wash clean. He wants you to do everything that He wants you to do. So consequently, He wants to lead you and guide you as a great personal Savior all the rest of your life. Now that He ain't going to lead you wrong. He's not going to lead you wrong. He is going to lead you right every time.
Yes.
Sometimes you may wonder in your mind about something, but the bottom line is if you'll stick with the Word and stick with His leadings and guiding, and you'll pray and fast, maybe whatever you need to do, Jesus Christ will lead you exactly the way you need to go.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Job, the 33rd chapter. This is some writing that I have loved through the years. Make a U-turn. There's people that spiritual speaker, they just do not want to make a U-turn. All right, in 33rd chapter of Job, what did I say? I think 33rd chapter, 14th verse. Let's read here a little bit. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream and in a vision in the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumberings upon the bed. Then He opened the ears of all men, and He sealeth their instruction, that He may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon a bed, multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his lap abhorred bread, his soul dainty meat, his flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall not pray unto God. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh on men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profit me not, he will deliver his soul from going down into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to enlighten with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job. Hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. Now then, this to me is one of the best descriptions of God trying to bring man back. Trying to get man's attention. Trying to get them to make a U-turn. Trying to get them to do what is right. Listen today, people just don't want to listen to God this morning. There are thousands and thousands out there that Jesus is dealing with right now, and they just don't want to listen. They don't want to turn around. The Lord is working in the night. He's working in the day. He's working on the job, in the car, in the plane. He's working in the home. He's working in the train. He's doing everything He can do to get man to turn around. In the still of the night, in the sleep, He speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Just not wanting to do. Then he goes into a dream and in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and seeth their instruction. He's getting now more serious with this. He's opening. He's sending in the word of God. He's sending in the light. He's doing everything he can that he may withdraw man from his purpose, hide pride from man. And listen, pride is going to take a lot of people to hell, folks. It's going to destroy a lot of people. And he's right there, he's working to hide pride, to get him away from pride. Begin to deal with his pride. Keeping back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Chastened also, now we're getting a little more serious here. Chastened also with pain upon his bed. Multitude of his bones with strong pain. More serious, just one step at a time. Listen, folks, I don't know how it was when you got saved. I don't know how he dealt with you and worked with you, but the bottom line is, no matter what he does, if he can get you to make a U-turn, if he can get you to come back to him, if he can get you to live for him, no matter what it takes, that's a blessed, blessed place.
Yes.
So do this life. Abhorred bread and his soul dainty meat. There have been times that I've prayed for people that the Lord would take away sleep from them at night. They would take away the appetite where they didn't even want to eat. I prayed this for many years. And I thought, I wonder if that really ever happens. And somebody got up in a congregation that I pastored one time and they made a testimony and they said, you know, I couldn't sleep. God was dealing with me so strong I couldn't sleep. And then they said I didn't have any appetite to eat. And I thought, wow. Then God does work that away. Listen, folks, so that his life abhorred bread. In other words, he's not interested in eating. And his soul, dainty meat, the more dainty, the things that get people's attention. His flesh is consumed away. It cannot be seen. And his bones that were not seen stick out. His soul draws near to the grave. And his life to the destroyers. He's getting closer and closer. Life is beginning to get close to the very end of life. It said, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to shew unto a man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. This morning, I'm interested in people seeing the ransom. I'm interested in people seeing the one that says, make a U-turn. It's time to change. You've gone far enough in the way you're going. You're deep enough into sin. And whatever you may be doing that is not pleasing God, you've gone far enough. It's time to change, folks. We do know when death is going to happen. You might die in this service. You can die after the service. You can die at home tonight. I'm talking about Sister... Molly, the one, your friend, you just mentioned her a while ago. Sister Gertrude, her father died in a Wednesday night prayer meeting in Oklahoma City. He was just sitting in the pew and his head just dropped forward during the song service. He was gone. Sister Catherine Williams, she almost died. She laid her out on the floor and they got to praying and praying and praying and God answered prayer. And Sister Gladys, or Sister said, she goes, why? Lord, did you bring me back? I was just about there. He said, because I got to answer the prayers of my children. And they were praying and begging for the Lord to spare Sister Catherine Williams. She was a special saint. But I'm going to tell you today, God takes people. He spares people. He takes them on. You might live 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70, 80, 90, 100. You might live a long time and you may not. There's a lot of people in a cemetery at 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. There is a lot of people in the rap music field and in the music industry anymore. And they're not very old and happened to read. They died. They got shot. They got killed. Well, I wouldn't get killed. You don't know. You don't know what might happen to you. And the day of Jesus is saying, the great personal Savior is saying, make a U-turn. Let me help you. Let me lead you and guide you. Listen, I thought I knew what I wanted to do in my life, but I found out where I was headed was not the best thing. The way that I'm headed now is the right way. And it's been right for over 50 years, praise God. There be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to shew up a man his uprightness. Listen, Jesus is righteous and gracious and kind and loving. He's powerful. He's a Savior that he wants to do everything he can for you this morning. He wants to bless you over and over and over. Then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. Praise God, there's a ransom this morning. It was paid in full on Calvary. And that ransom still works today. If you and I will just reach out for it and decide, I want to turn. I want to make a turn to Jesus, praise God. I want to do what is right today. I want to live a life that is pleasing to the Almighty Jesus Christ.
Amen.
His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He's going to return back to the days of his youth. In other words, it's going to be a whole different life. It's going to be a glorious life. It's going to be a blessed life. He shall pray unto God, and he'll be favorable unto him. He shall see his face with joy. He'll render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I've sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not. Listen, sin doesn't profit anybody. It destroys people. The profit come from living for Jesus Christ. The profit come from giving our lives to him and working with him and doing what he would have us to do. And I'm not saying everybody's to be a preacher. That's not my personal this morning. I want you to see that Jesus wants you to make a U-turn. He wants you to make a change. He is the one that can do with you what nobody else can do. Oh, if I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit. Listen, he has got a way to bring you up and out of sin and keep you from going to a devil's hell. Oh, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Listen, he is working. There is 5,000 and something, no, 6,000 something people die per hour around the world constantly. 150 something thousand people die every 24 hours around the world. And the Lord is constantly reaching out, calling, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn, child. Come back to me. It doesn't matter how old you are, how middle-aged you are, how young you are. The bottom line is the time to start is now. If you're not serving God, or if you're not where you ought to be with God, it's time to make a U-turn. God wants to get you where you need to be. He wants to help you. Let's go to 2 Peter 2 and 5. Now I'm going to look at different instances in the scriptures where people did or didn't make a U-turn. 2 Peter 2 and 5. This is going to be connected with the old time. He says here, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Yes. He delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation from the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous, are they self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. I'm going to tell you, if that scripture is real, it's real today. Lord, it is real today. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. We have got thousands and thousands upon thousands of people that's living in the lust, that is living in uncleanness, and they're despising government. They're presumptuous. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Listen, the bottom line is our world is steeped so deep in spirit and in sin and in corruption. The best thing you can do is to run for that and make a U-turn as quick as possible. Oh, to make it. Let's go to Genesis now. Genesis, the sixth chapter. Genesis, the sixth chapter here. Telling what it was like back there. He said in about the third verse, 6 and 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days should be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes.
Noah found grace. Now then, if I'm not mistaken, have any of you ever been to Kentucky in the Ark Encounter? Have you ever seen the ship that the man built, as much of a replica to the Ark as he could, out of the Bible and so forth? It was quite an endeavor. And I went there last May. I wanted to see it. And I wanted Molly and Paige to see it. And we went there. It was an awesome boat. Had the cages and had animals in these cages. Not real animals, but stuffed animals, I guess you'd call it. And they were in there. You looked it over. The beams in that ship were huge. When you first walked in, it had a speaker going. And it made it sound like the waves were beating on the ship. It was so real. Jesus looked down. Well, God looked down. And he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm going to tell you what. You need to make a U-turn now, because it's not guaranteed he will ever deal with you again. Amen. We can think, well, oh, he'll deal with me again. He'll deal with me again. It's not an absolute guarantee by any means. The Lord said he would deal in love, but it also says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He may not strive with you all the time. He may not deal with you again. The bottom line is, when he's dealing, that's the time to make your move to salvation. To get this great personal Savior and get him on your side. Get him as your companion, praise God. Be one that's a child of God with power and authority to be able to do what God would have you to do. My spirit shall not always strive. Noah preached, what, 120 years? A long time preaching, warning, and he made them know that there's going to be a flood. He made them know you're not pleasing to God. He made them know all these evil things in your minds and your hearts, all the lusting of the things that you're doing and not pleasing to God. You need to quit that. And he laid it out, and he built the boat, and he laid it out, and he built the boat, and the people looked at him building it. He had an inspiration from God. He was his son. He was God's man for the hour. And Jesus and God was working with him and helping him to know just how to build that boat, because they knew every individual, so to speak, every creature that was going to be in there, and everyone had their own place.
Yeah.
My spirit shall not always strive with man. I don't appreciate what they're doing. I created them to serve me. I created them to be my people. And look at what they're doing. Listen, folks, today God created you to serve God. He didn't create you to serve the devil. Amen. He created you to serve the Almighty God, to live for him and to die for him, whatever it needs to be. He created you to do that. He didn't create us to serve the devil and sin. He didn't make you to be a pack mule for sin. He created you to be a servant, a child of the Almighty God.
Yes.
Oh, today, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Listen, Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know how many people was there, but today the homosexual movement is far, far greater now than it was then. There's thousands upon thousands. And I heard a man that went from a transgender man to a supposedly a transgender woman. And he told them over there, said, if you try to stop me from going into a woman's bathroom, he said, that's the last mistake you'll make. And he kept talking. He said, every transgender needs to buy a gun. I listened to what he was saying, because Tucker Carlson at Fox News, I'd heard him say just a few days before that, he made it. He said, listen, folks, he said, this thing is going to turn into something where they're going to turn on you. If you trust them, they want their way, and they're going to do everything they can do to get it. and you listen to him, if you oppose him, they might pull a pistol and put you down. Oh, that can't happen. Yeah, it can too. That thing is a devilish spirit, folks. It's a devilish spirit. I don't care what you say. I was at a funeral one time. Mama called me, said, I want you and Rebecca to go to this funeral. Well, it was odd to me that they wanted me to go. It was Daddy's nephew and my cousin, but they wanted me to go. So we went, and we walked in. And it didn't take us but just a few moments to feel something repelling to our spirit. And we looked at one another, and we both, if I'm not mistaken, said, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And so we went on in, and we went through the service, went to the cemetery. It didn't take us long. We figured out what it was. My mama told me later, said, son, he was a youth Baptist minister. And he went homosexual. He died of AIDS. When AIDS was such a killer back there years and years ago. This has been back in the 80s. I was Pastor Guthrie when this took place. So 89, 90, somewhere along in there. But I could feel that spirit. Listen, folks, homosexuals have a spirit, and it's a wrong spirit. It's a devilly spirit. And listen, if it would have been all right, God would have never destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I can't, people say, well, you got to love them. I love them, but I don't love their spirit. Amen now. I don't love their spirit. I don't love their sin. Maybe that's a better way to put it. I don't love their sin. I want to see them get help. Oh, today, God looked it all over, and he said, I'm going to destroy man. I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. There is, I don't know how many people died in the flood, but all of them died except those that was in the ark. Are you ready to get in the ship of Zion, the ark, so to speak? Are you ready to get in the place that God wants you to be, where he can feed you and bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and do something to you that you can't get otherwise?
Yes.
Now, Danny Gillenbeck, Brother Dan, Brother Philip told me down in Atlanta, I lived from downtown Atlanta when I was in South Carolina, 275 miles from downtown. I went in and out of Atlanta a lot. I done a lot of jobs there in the install work. They told me that there was a mall or two down there that the homosexual community come together and fill that whole mall. Now, can you imagine? Hundreds upon hundreds of them. How big was Sodom and Gomorrah? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they weren't right. God's going to destroy every homosexual today that's not right. He's going to look down and he's going to pull the deal and he's going to stop it. All right, let's go to Luke 17 and 26. Luke 17 and 26. Oh, today. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They shall eat, drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. These scriptures are being fulfilled daily. Eating and drinking, marrying and wives, given and they were married wives and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, Noah had preached to them over and over. They didn't change. They just kept going their own way. He tried. Listen, folks, today we're here in the gospel work to plead with you. It's time to make a U-turn. It's time to do what's right. If you're not what you ought to be with God, it's time to come down to this altar and get things made right. Make a U-turn to the right, to the power, to the glory, to everything that you need to be able to live for God. They eat, they drink, give it in marriage. We had some books. Children's books that we read to our daughters when they were young. And in one of them was a picture of the animals going into the ark. The door was open, and the lion was coming from this way, and it came down, and it made a turn, and went right up, and went right in the door of the ark. And what was so astonishing, well, I say astonishing, enlightening, was there's a man standing right over here. And he was looking at all of this with a look of horror on his face. In a little bit, the door was going to be shut. There wasn't going to be anybody got on there anymore. I don't know what that man was thinking. But listen, folks, today, it ain't going to be that way. It's going to come so fast. It's going to come so powerful that it's going to shake everybody up. When that trumpet blows and Jesus is ready to come back and get his people and send the sinners to hell and the righteous to heaven, listen, folks, it's going to be one quick deal. Ain't going to have no time to pray. Listen, there's people that die so fast, they don't have a time to pray. Lord, help us today make a U-turn. It's time to make a U-turn. All right, let's go to Acts, the 24th chapter. Ooh. Acts 24 and 22. Acts 24 and 22. Over here where Paul was dealing with a man, trying to help him to get to heaven, trying to get him to make a U-turn, and he wouldn't do it. This again is a sad situation. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Laius, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Yes. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now then, it said, Felix, come. And he listened to him, heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and he reasoned of righteousness. Now Paul is reasoning, he's dealing, he's I don't know that he's actually preaching, but in other words, he was trying to get this man to make a turn. This man, what I understand, was a very wicked man. And the very things that it says that Paul was dealing with him in righteousness and temperance, these things and judgment to come, these were the things, what I understand through study on this, that exactly what needed to be talked to that man. And as he reasoned of righteousness, listen, folks, God has a righteous way.
Yes.
It's not a sinful way, it's a holy way, it's God's way, it's a pure way.
Yes.
Temperance, living a life that is temperate before man and God. And judgment, there's going to be a judgment one day. You and I are going to be at that judgment. Nobody's going to miss the judgment. Well, Brother Carl, I know somebody that was burned up and cremated. And listen, everybody's going to be at the judgment. They're going to be there in just exactly what Christ. He can bring everything back together. There had been people dumped off of ships. I talked to a man one time. He said, "Oh yeah, I've seen them go over the side. Probably sharks ate them. No telling what happened to them." But the bottom line was, they will be at the judgment.
Yes.
Those that have been cremated will be at the judgment. I did not want to do it, but my sister left the deal that when I die, I am to be cremated. That's what we did. We didn't want to, but that's what we did. Cremated her. Listen, folks, today Paul laid it out. I'm trying to the best of my knowledge and understanding by the Holy Ghost to lay it out to you today. To let you know that God wants you to make a U-turn. If there's anything that you need to change, if there's anything that you need victory on, if you're not where God wants you to be this morning, God said, I want you to make a U-turn to me and I want you to get it right. Oh, Felix. As far as we know, Felix never got saved. Never got saved as far as we know. He ended up lost, going down. Or it appears that he did anyway. I don't know for absolute on that. But the bottom line was, he never made a change at all. He never made a change. All right, what about Jonah? What about Jonah? What about Jonah? Jonah was sent to do something, to preach the gospel to Nineveh, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And what did he do? He made a wrong turn.
Yes, he did.
And he went the wrong way. And he got on a ship and went away from the presence of the Lord, the Bible said, if I remember right. And went away from God. And so he got on this boat and they went out and things wasn't going right. And the men of that boat began to check things out. And he said, I'm the man. I'm the reason. It's what it is. I've gone away from God. I've not done what I'm supposed to be. Listen, how far are you away from God this morning? 1 millimeter is too much. A quarter, an eighth, a sixteenth. Any place that you're away from God needs to be closer. All the way to the connection. There's got to be a connection. Brother Hargrave said one time, if I remember right, he said, talking about electricity, he said, you plug something in, that light or that fan or that hairdryer or whatever it might be, said that gives it power. Listen, we need to be plugged into the power source. We need to be plugged into the one that'll give power and help you and I to do what he wants us to do. Noah, they threw him over and a fish swallowed him up. He went down and down and down and kept going down. Said the seaweed, I believe, was wrapped around him. And no doubt it stunk in there. No doubt he was miserable. No doubt it was tight in there. And it said there that he said he looked back. I believe it was, looked back to heaven. Looked back to God. Salvation is of the Lord, I believe the Bible said. He come to the place that I shouldn't have done what I done. Listen, folks, you will come to a conclusion one day that what you are doing that is wrong, you will come to the conclusion it's wrong. You have come to the conclusion. You may end up in a hospital. You may be in a car wreck. You may be shot, whatever it might be. But you'll come to the conclusion like Noah did, hey, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done it. And now look where I'm at. Listen, folks, Jesus wants you to make a U-turn now so you don't end up down at the bottom. My sister got into gambling. We were doing everything we could to help her. I was running her finances for her, and we were trying to get her out of debt and all kinds of things. And she changed. Or one night she went in and she got her check. Instead of allowing them to put it into her checking account where we could work with it, she went and got it. Well, the next day I figured out what she'd done and I went after her. When she come out to her car, we pulled in right behind her in the parking lot of the hospital she was working at. And I talked to her and she sat there and she lied to me over and over and over. And I knew what she was doing. And so I told her, I said, all right, sis, when you hit the bottom of the barrel, you're going to look up. You're going to look up to me. And I don't mean that in the wrong way, but in other words, I'm going to be getting a call.
Lord, yeah.
What happened? She hit the bottom of the barrel. She called me. And I tell you what, I was a little bit tempted not to answer the phone because I knew who it was.
Lord,
but
yeah.
I did. And you know what she told me? She said, brother, I've hit the bottom of the barrel. He hit the bottom of the barrel, Jonah did. Or the bottom of the sea, so to speak. But said he looked up to the one of salvation. And he looked, and he began to pray, and he began to reach out. It stunk in there. The weeds wrapped around his head, the seaweed. It was not a good place to be. He knew he shouldn't have done what he did. He knew he should have gone and preached to those people at Nineveh. They were going to hell. They were in trouble. God was going to destroy them if something didn't happen. And he sent Jonah to warn them, and Jonah went the other way. Are you going the other way? I know people that have been called by God to preach the gospel, and they turned and they went the other way, only to confess it to me at an altar or on their deathbed or something. Brother Carl, I've resisted this for years and years and years, and I've got down to the end, and the fact that I've turned my calling down has got me in a place that I don't want to be. I'm going to tell you, that frightened, well, I say frightened me, it stirred me. I thought you can reject what you want to reject, but you're not going to get away with it. You'll meet it before death, and that's what happened. Lord. Had to pray with them. Had to beg God to have mercy on them. Jonah, help me, I'm in a bad spot. And away he went. He got higher and higher. Fish sped him out on dry land. And I'm going to tell you, about river, I can just about see old Jonah running for all he's worth. I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to stick around in a bad spot. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Yes. Listen, Jesus wants you to make a U-turn and do what he wants you to do, praise God. Yes. Oh, today, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let's go to Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm not going to read all this. This is the prodigal son. And you know the story. Some of you may know it better than I do. The bottom line was, the one son decided he wanted his inheritance, and he took it, and he left. And he went out, the Bible said. As said there, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me, and he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Yes. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I'm going to tell you what, Molly Ann had a nephew. This young man had dabbled with drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes for years. He got down to the place where his very sinful friends turned on him. Listen to me. He was hungry. He was in bad shape, so to speak. And guess who he's calling? His aunt right here. And he couldn't get her. So he called his mom and said, "Where's Aunt Molly?" And she said, "Son, she's gotten married, and they're on their honeymoon." Well, I didn't even know she was engaged, much less married. Didn't even know she had a man that wanted to take her and enjoy life with her. So anyway, she said, "Call your Uncle Joe." But the bottom line was, Joey went down to the bottom, and the people were just leaving him and walking away. Your friends will walk away from you. They will take everything they can get for you in all the sin that you're doing, and then they'll leave you in a humbled, crumbled mess. He made a U-turn. He got saved, started going to church with his Uncle Joe, and he got saved and started living for God, and his life started changing, and everything started going better. And then he died just not quite a year later of a massive heart attack on Father's Day. He was gone. But bless God, between his pastor and I, we let it be known that God worked the work and helped this man to get where he needed to be, and that was heaven. Oh, this young man's in a mess. He was in a mess. And said when he came to himself, the day you need to come to yourself, as Jesus is calling, you need to begin to think and consider and weigh. Don't let the devil get you to the bottom of the barrel. Don't let him get you to the place where all your friends have left you. Listen, the real friends are the saints of God. The real friends are the people that want to help you and bless you and be with you. They want you to make a U-turn, and they will help you all they can. He came to himself. How many hired servants of my father's have bread and up and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm going to rise and I'm going to go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And his son said to father, I have sinned against thee, and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a change making place here. There's a change from the father to the son. I'm not going to take him and put him out there to the servant. I'm going to put the best robe on him, praise God. A robe of righteousness. Listen, make a U-turn and get the most beautiful white robe you can get. A robe of righteousness. The Lord wants to bless you. The best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And listen, folks, today, he's not going to feed you some junk food. He's going to give you the fatted calf, spiritually speaking. He's going to feed you with things out of the Word of God, in the services of God, in the things that will bless you and make you shout, praise God. I've got the salvation because I'm in a U-turn. I've made a U-turn and I've come back. There ain't no better place to be than to make that U-turn and come home to Jesus Christ. To come home to the Father. To come home to the great personal Savior that has done things for you. Listen, everybody in this building today is here because of God and the Son. We live, let's see, we have our live. Well, as that scripture go over now? In him we live,
move,
and have our being. Thank you.
Amen.
In him. Listen, he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you things that you can't get otherwise. Praise God. I've had him so close in glory. In a selection I had in 1987. I was at the old general's house. And one night he got so close that I thought I was going to totally explode. I mean, I was shouting and crying. I usually do one or the other, but not at the same time. Wife come in there. Are you all right, Carl? Yeah, Jesus just got real close. Listen, folks, that's better than all the wealth of the world, praise God. That's better than being a president or a senator or a king or a queen. It's better than anything. Just have Jesus come by and get real close to you. Woo! Praise God. Make a U-turn. Is anybody here need to make a U-turn this morning? If it is, I want to beg you, let's stand. Let's have a number. It's time to do. 486?
Yes, sir.
It's time to do what you need to do. I appreciate your time and attention, your prayers this morning. Pray for me.